Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The question I've asked for the last couple of years, you guys keep talking about, you know, building depth, but at the end of the day, you still need that dude. Where are you guys going to find that dude? It just seems like you guys don't have a plan to land that kind of guy.
I think there's different paths, Joe.
That was our guest as we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is the man, the myth, the blowtorch. Joe Cali, the Sun-Times beat reporter, host of the Bulls Recap podcast at JCaliHoops on Twitter, asking questions of the Bulls front office last night. And he now joins us on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Hey, Joe.
I still didn't get a good answer.
That's how I feel about this. Is I feel like they've contradicted themselves, or at least put themselves into a very small space to try to succeed in today's NBA, or at least what I know about it.
Well, I mean, I think the disappointing thing is, you know, Noah Essanay could be a great player in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Who knows? I mean, he's so young. He is what he is. He's a project. The problem is, the frustrating thing for me is just the lack of urgency, especially in an off season where urgency is needed in the Eastern Conference, because it's kind of right there for the taking. And you see what Orlando's doing. You see what Detroit's done the last couple of years to set themselves up in a good position. I mean, no Haliburton, no Jason Tatum, no Dame Lillard. It's just kind of screaming, hey, who wants to step up and become, you know, king of this yard? And for them not to understand the urgency, forget about not understanding the importance of this draft, which we all saw play out throughout this season. It's just kind of, like I said, like I wrote, it's just a meh pick. It's just a, hey, you know, we're just going to kick back and stick to our tunnel vision, and we really, everything else around us, be damned.
They are a bureaucracy in that they take forever to pivot. And that's been part of the problem here during this acme, if you will, regime, Joe. I got a couple of questions for you, but I'll start with the most pressing one for me. How right. likely is it that they draft and stash this kid?
Essanay?
Yes.
Or tonight's pick?
No, Essanay. No. I'm talking about Essanay.
Oh, no, he's not a stash.
Okay,
no.
He's definitely going to play for the Bulls next season. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
100%. You'll see him in Vegas in a couple weeks.
Okay, that was my first thing. The second thing is, when he was explaining to you what he learned from Indiana, you and the assembled media, about how they needed a bunch of two-way players that could run, and they didn't, and you asked the question, and he talked about not players that could be hunted on defense, like, as you put, got hunted in that Miami game, the playing game. How is Josh Giddey not that player, or am I seeing something different than what everyone else is seeing?
No, he is that player. But, and you know, I think, you know, no team is going to have guys that you're always going to be able to hunt someone down. I mean, the bottom line is you can hunt Haliburton down. The problem is he's got some defensive guys around him. You're always going to have guys you can hunt down. You want to limit that as much as possible. But they have almost every guy you can hunt down on that starting five. And that's the problem. And, you know, and I get what they're trying to do. And, again, more frustration because – they're looking at this model of Indiana, and they're saying, well, we were out in front of it, too, with building from depth, and that's what Indiana did. Yes and no. Can Essanay be Pascal Siakam? Who knows? I mean, that's years down the road. Can Bucellis be something special in the front court that Indiana doesn't have? Maybe. Who knows? But the one thing they can't say is, I mean, defensively, you could hunt a bunch of different current Bulls down. So for them to throw that Indiana comparison out, the only comparison is you both play with pace. After that, Indiana's got a dude. Whether you like Haliburton or not, he's a dude. And he showed that throughout the playoffs, putting on one of the all-time historic performances as far as big game shots. And so I think they feel like they're close because of the model of depth and high pace, but they're missing so many other key parts of this, and that's a go-to guy. That's physicality. That's the defensive part of this. So, you know, I knew the Indiana name and brand was going to come up in that press conference yesterday.
I mean, Joe, we were all thinking about the finals. I think even watching the tape that we saw of all these prospects during the draft, you know, that's what came to my mind. I'm thinking, oh, well, in the German league, yeah, you have space to work within the lane because nobody's there. That's not happening. You're trying to see how all this fits. And that's not a diss necessarily on what SNG does. It's just how you're seeing it come together. The other thing is the Pacers' talent. Like, that was suffocating defense. Absolutely just stifling defense, especially in the first half of even game 7, you know, before Hallie goes down. Game 6, a wonderful example, where they can't run any other offense. So then you're having to rely on guys making those outside shots like Caruso. And I'm not in a position where I trust, say if they get in that position, if they're in this position and we're trying to run our offensive set and you've got the guy, you're forcing Patrick Williams, we see teams force Patrick Williams open on the outside. You're not confident in him making those shots necessarily. You're not confident in anybody having that kind of stifling defense on the Bulls. Like that's the part of this that I have so much trouble translating, is I feel like my mind got broken watching those finals where now I compare everything to that. And I'm trying to see how it fits in, and I can't do it.
No, and to your point, we saw what Indiana was doing, and that's against a very physical Oklahoma City team. So, I mean, you know, that even made it more impressive, especially that first half that you brought up. That this was a game 7 against a team that is also very physical. And Indiana was doing things that were like, whoa, until Halliburton goes down. And, you know, so the Patrick Williams element of this thing and the thing you brought up, as much as you want to rip on Patrick Williams, he's a much better shooter than SNG is too. I mean, and they basically drafted a guy that they feel has to replace Patrick Williams, a guy they extended last year. And it's a mind-breaking exercise trying to understand, A, what their long-term plan is, and B, why they think it can work. I mean, I kind of see the plan. I think it's flawed. But then for them to think this will actually work, constructed as it is, that's why if they don't, and by all accounts, inside the organization and outside the organization, they have been aggressive the last month, especially with trade talk. But if they don't go in the next couple of weeks when free agency opens, which basically is going to be a bunch of sign-in trades anyway, because free agency is basically dead at this point with the aprons. It's all about sign-in trades and trades. And so if they don't go into it doing what other teams have said they've been talking about and come out with, this is just our roster, and then the guy we picked tonight is we either traded out and didn't pick anybody, or it was a draft and stash, and this is it. My God, just hand in your resignation before fall camp.
Joe Cali joining us here on Rahimi and Harris, the Sun-Times Bulls reporter, the man who asked the tough questions in the press conferences. And there's many tough questions to be answered. Not sure that we've gotten satisfactory answers. Actually, I know we have not gotten satisfactory answers so far. So you talk about the trades, and I'm lining them up, right? The idea that Kobe White could be moved, the idea that Nikola Vucevic could be moved, the idea they could find some way to get out from under Patrick Williams' contract. How would you rank the priority of what maybe it should be for the Bulls and what the reality is for the Bulls for those moves?
Well, I think the first thing is the Golden State with Kuminga and Vooch and some kind of package. I think that's still very much alive. I think that will continue to be talked about. You know, both teams have to do something if they want to better their situation. The Kobe White or Lonzo Ball trade, I mean, that's kind of been ongoing. Lonzo Ball, they've turned down a couple Lonzo Ball trades going back to the night that they gave him the extension. They were turning down deals. So, you know, I think all of that stuff is in play. It's fluid. It's ongoing. And the problem I have with the Bulls is they don't seem to dictate the action as much as they react to the action. And so I think some other pieces will have to fall, and then there'll be that team that gets aggressive. But I definitely think everything is play. And the only way Patrick Williams is getting moved is obviously in a package with whether it's a Coby White or it's an Io or if it's Alonzo. But they have to clear out that guard room. And when you just look at the roster right now, you know, Essengay is part of it. You're going to resign Giddey. That's going to happen. However you want to do it, it's going to. So you're at 14, and then they're going to use that exception to the trade exception to bring in one other guy. So there's your 15 guaranteed contract.
Yep.
So that's why tonight is just a throwaway. I think they're going to completely try trading out of the second round. Because you know, if you stash a guy, things just get a little too tricky. You have to feel really good that this guy's not coming over and he's worth it. So I have a feeling they're just going to try completely trading out. But they have some. This can't be it. Just please tell me this can't be your damn plan.
That's how I feel because I can't put it together. And I know I'm not. I've got some intelligence. I mean, I'm in journalism and radio, you know, so that's debatable. But some. Right. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Joe, so you just brought up a great point because you feel like maybe they're not forcing the action as they should. Let's go back to the draft last night. They make the pick, Essengay. Yep. Immediately thereafter, you find out that the Pelicans' unprotected pick for next year gets moved in a deal.
Next year, too.
How confident are you that the Bulls even discussed, were involved, could have been them? Because if you can get the Pelicans' unprotected pick for next year, how can you not be all about that action in life to trade down 10 spots or so?
Yeah, I mean, I know they were in talks and looking to trade up. And I like when Malawash was falling, I was like, please, just see what your weakness is. Understand what this kid's about. Be aggressive and go get him. I don't know if that's what they were trying to do. I know they like him a lot, and they were surprised that Brooklyn passed on him at 8. I don't even think he was like realistically in their draft area on the board of like, because they just had a feeling this kid was climbing. I know there was some talk about Con Knipple. He was a pipe dream. I mean, again, you would have had to be super aggressive and giving up too much for him. So I know they were talking, and then Mark Eversley admitted to that because I even asked him, was there any talk about moving up? And they said they were talking to 3 or 4 different teams. But yeah, I mean, to your point, if that's there and it was just one pick after you, and again, we don't know the background. We don't know what New Orleans felt they know about Queen, what they don't know about Queen, what the Bulls know about Queen. And that's where things get, because, you know, you only see the film. You only see the skill set or what you deem the skill set and what you feel can translate. You don't know the background. And his background may have been really good for New Orleans where they said, hey, we know what 26 is about, but we're throwing our chips in now on this kid. So, you know, again, until you can see the background reports and what teams really felt they know about somebody, it's hard to say how hard they want to go after them.
We're talking to Sun-Times beat writer for the Bulls, Joe Cowley, and the host of the Bulls Recap podcast on 670 The Score with Raheemian Harris. Joe, I know you were asking Mark Eversley a lot of questions about just how this team is being built. And you also were one of the first ones to point out the significance of when they parted ways with Peter Patton, the noted shooting coach and development coach for this team, who right. Coby White, I would assume guys like that, really credit with their improvement. They said they wanted to improve from within last night. Given what we know about their coaching staff, and given that move with Patton, like, how do you see that taking shape?
Well, here, again, when they were first hired, you know, I go back and I like to read, like, early quotes when guys were first hired. And that one of the main things Arturis and Mark both stressed was, I mean, they found it insulting that Gar and Pax had such a nothing of a developmental staff. There was just no developmental staff. It was basically the head coach was there to develop them. So they really wanted to build out the developmental staff because they are here for the player. They have to cater to the player. And then yesterday to get that answer that, yeah, we're just going to promote some video guy and he'll be on the developmental staff. And we got some guys that have been on the developmental staff, but doesn't look like we're really going to replace the guy that at least 5 players I talked to in the firing swore by and said really changed their, not only the way fundamentally the way they shoot, but their idea of shooting and good shot, bad shot, when to shoot, when to be aggressive, all that kind of stuff. when to attack closeouts, all that kind of stuff. So that was a little disconcerting that you said you're here, A, for the player, and but when it comes down to it, if a guy's not a yes man and you fire him, you really didn't go out and get a, okay, let's get the next best guy out there in the NBA to do this job. So that was a little disappointing, and maybe that changes. Maybe someone comes free or something happens where they see over summer league guys aren't developing or aren't the coaching staff isn't vibing, so they go and add a guy. But, yeah, that one was a little of a head-scratcher, too. There were a lot of head-scratching yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, I know when we say video guy, the first one who comes to my mind is, of course, Eric Spoelstra. But that's the exception, not the rule.
No, that doesn't happen often.
No, yeah, he's the rarity.
And, by the way, he was groomed by God, too, to become a coach. So that's a little different. When you got slick hair back Pat Riley grooming you to be the next apparent, I mean, that you're in good hands.
Joe, before we get you out of here, I got to ask, because now that the draft is 2 days, I was very much underwhelmed by action last night. I wanted some trade action, right? You know, if not the Bulls, somebody else, big things popping. Do you feel like that is what we are set for maybe tonight, since it is a 2-day process now?
No, I think there was already some big explosions.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to come once the free agency window opens up. And I think there's going to be some craziness. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in the NBA this offseason because, unlike the Bulls, there are front offices, especially in the East, that understand it's time to strike. And if you have to get a little desperate to do so and be a little over-aggressive to do so, you go ahead and make that move because they didn't get big contract extensions secretly. There's some asses that are on the line and jobs on the line, and they're going to go ahead and be aggressive.
And we got about a minute left, so I also want to ask you this, Joe. You brought it up last night. It was a surprise in a way when you considered also mentioning Kobe White's name among the trade talks. Is that something that the Bulls have to do in order to move forward, is move Kobe?
They don't have to do it, but I also think that they have to do their due diligence and take the idea of, do we want to spend? Because Kobe, I can tell you this, Kobe has told them he is not taking this hometown discount extension this offseason. So now they know he's betting on himself to walk to free agency next year. Do they want to go ahead and cut him off in the past and give him $40 million a year? Or do they want to call his bluff and see what the market gives him and let him walk for free? Or do they want to trade him now and get the most they can out of him? So either now or at the deadline. So that's why his name has been brought up, will continue to be brought up, and that's been reported on multiple fronts.
Got to move him. They got to move him. They got to get the – they don't have assets. They got to be in position. So when this young player, Matis Bouzelas, Asenge, whenever they're ready, they've got to be able to add to that mix, and that's how you do it, is by getting future assets.
And to your point, you don't want to spend $70 million on Giddey and Kobe White and not one of them is an all-star.
Enough said.
The pause there.
No, enough said.
We just
no.
sat there and all looked at each other.
Joe
except for Robbie,
on.
Who loves Giddey and thinks he's going to be an all-star. Joe Kelly, thanks so much for your help, for your perspective. Thanks for asking the questions you did last night. If you want more Joe Kelly, there's a good chance you do. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Kelly Hoops, also the Bulls Recap Podcast, and of course, the Chicago Sun-Times. Joe, thanks.
All right, you guys take care anytime.
Thanks, Joe.
That was Joe Kelly. We get back to more Cubs talk on The Score. It's Shota Imanaga Day. It's showtime. I had to do it.
You know who my favorite Cub is, so we already know what time it is.
We got to figure out also how he's being used in the game today against the Cardinals. Steamy game.
Would it be a good idea to check in with his pitching coach, maybe?
Yes, and not just that, but I mentioned that roster move. We'll actually tell you what it was next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Bring me my money.
Yeah, it's going to be like that today with the NBA draft underway. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. We got some breaking news. Breaking news on the... What is this?
The old Score breaking news sounder. And now, the
1999 news update. Hi, I am Random Anchor with some important information here. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories, Marshall.
We hope that that sounder creates memories of breaking news and decades gone by.
It sounds like the opening to Hard Copy or something.
This is from Shams Charania on the old app formerly known as Twitter. The Los Angeles Lakers are moving up in the second round of the NBA draft tonight, acquiring the number 45 overall pick from the Chicago Bulls for number 55 and cash, sources tell ESPN. Lakers move up 10 picks as they eye a young talent in the second round of the draft tonight. So the Bulls, they do trade the 45th pick, but they don't trade out of having a second round pick. They're just picking 10 picks later.
Wait, did I hear cash considerations?
Straight cash, homie.
Are we back to the cash consideration portion of the Bulls again?
That was a portion?
Oh, yeah. That was the cash considerations was a major player in Bulls transactions in, I would say, 2019 or so.
I'm always about that cash.
2018, 2017.
Always consider me when you're thinking about giving away cash. That's how I like to say it.
They wanted a two-way player. They got cash considerations. You know, right there.
Well, and now that they have pick number 55 in the draft, you know what that says to me?
What does it say?
The phrase I learned this morning with you, draft and stash.
Oh, draft and stash. Yeah, it's definitely a draft and stash. It's just a lottery ticket. Get more lottery tickets, Bulls. Get more lottery tickets.
Also, the way we all looked at each other in silence when we thought about the Joe Callie mention of Giddy and Kobe White making $70 million and none of them being all-stars, and we just all sat there looking at each other. That was a moment.
Right.
That was a moment in time.
Also, the origin of the Bulls and cash considerations was the Warriors acquired the draft rights to Jordan Bell from the Bulls for cash considerations, and that's where...
Straight up, it was just cash considerations.
Yeah, only?
Straight cash,
yeah.
Homie.
I was with Kendall Gill at the time.
This was like, actually 2017.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was 2017. We were on, I think, Comcast Sportsnet Chicago at that time. Yeah, those were good times.
Maybe they were hard pressed for cash. I don't know, but
I hate this stupid apron thing. If it's ruining free agency and teams are just imploding,
No. It's not ruining free agency. What it is doing is making you be much more judicious with how you decide to build your team.
I want to spend money without any kind of being judicious.
Well, that's why Major League Baseball exists.
I want the max contracts, like where, you know, random people got really ridiculous max contracts. I want that era of life again.
Did you know that the Boston
this
Celtics
thing is bummer?
The Celtics are still dealing with like $200 million in luxury tax, even after moving Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. They've got more moving that needs to be done.
Why did everybody sign up for this? This is a less exciting
NBA. Because they got tired of the big three era where...
Superstars got together and we watched fun basketball.
Well, it was fun for like three or four teams and not fun for, well, it was never going to be fun for the Bulls, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, accept life. Like, if I can't watch fun basketball, I can watch somebody else's team at times.
You watch my team.
Your team doesn't know what it's doing either.
Yeah, we're definitely getting Nikola Vucevic.
That would be great for everyone involved.
Yeah, please,
That's the point.
Let's talk some Cubs here on the Score. This is Rahimi and Harris, and this is the debut, well, the return of Shota Imanaga. But here's also a major point to this that I think when we're talking about the bullpen, I was a bit surprised by, just because he did well in his outing. So the Cubs announced that they reinstated Shota from the 15-day injured list. It was not 15 days. In a corresponding move, right-handed pitcher Michael Fulmer was DFA'd. Didn't he have a good outing? What happened here? I was like, oh, he's back. He's going to be okay.
My answer to that is, if not him, who did you want exactly to go and be DFA'd?
You had, well, or at least moved, yeah. Fulmer had three scoreless innings across two relief outings after his contract was selected from Iowa on Monday. But they had to make a corresponding roster move. Tommy Hotovy referred to that earlier today on Mully and Haw. We got what the official one was. But either way, it is show today. It is showtime. He is back. And we'll be playing for the Cubs starting against the Cardinals in about an hour. We get you ready for the Cubs game here on the Score. So always exciting to see. The lineup is out too, by the way. You want that?
Ooh, do I want it?
Let's do it. Ian Happ is batting leadoff. He's in left field. Kyle Tucker is the DH today. Seiya Suzuki is in right. So we knew we were going to see some of these alignments change in the outfield based on how many games they had. Pete Crow Armstrong is batting cleanup in center. Then you've got Dansby batting fifth. Dansby had a better day yesterday, so let's say it together. Dansby Swanson.
Dansby Swanson.
Oh, that was pretty good. I like it.
It's Dansby Swanson.
Every time. Michael Busch is batting sixth. He's at first base. Carson Kelly is catching for Shota. Batting seventh, Nico Hoerner batting eighth, Matt Shaw now batting ninth.
Okay, so why is Dansby Swanson batting fifth instead of Michael Busch? That's my question.
Yeah, no, I completely understand why you're asking, especially when we talked about his runners and scoring position numbers. We talked about moving him down in the order.
But I guess it's the lefty-righty-lefty. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at it. But I just, Dansby can be tough, man. With the runners come up in scoring position, you're like, ah.
Well, and it's not just the fact that he's hit into some tough luck, but also look at the speed at which the ball's coming off the bat, too. You know, that's part of it for me. It's the exit velo even on the outs. Like, that's the data that I need. Before we get into a little more about Dansby, I think we've got some time here to talk about what we can expect to see out of Shota Imanaga today. This is not, I think, going to be your typical whiz-bang, eat-innings Shota Imanaga performance. Let's hear what Tommy Hotovy had to say to Mullion Haw earlier today.
Whenever you have a guy coming back from injury, you kind of have a methodical or systematic kind of thought in your head of where you expect him to be, you know, at a certain time, and we kind of have that in our head today with Shota. But, you know, for us, if I say here today he's going to throw 80, 85, 90 pitches, it's going to be a hot one today in St. Louis. It's going to be muggy. You know, he's already coming off an injury, you know, that whenever you have a hamstring injury or a injury like that, you always get concerned about guys that do have, you know, a day like today where it's going to be lack of hydration, humid, hot, guys going to be sweating a lot. So big thing for us today is just going to be make sure we communicate with Shota, see how he's feeling, watching the pitch data as the game goes on and making sure everything looks good. And then kind of go from there. So it's going to be one of those days. I could say to you right now exactly what he's going to do, but, you know, we may adjust depending on what we're seeing today. And with the weather obviously being hot and humid here, it's going to play a factor.
I just want to point out, as we listen to Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach of the Cubs, describe Shota Imanaga and kind of the expectations for him today. The temperature right now at Busch Stadium is 92 degrees. Right now.
It's 11:34.
The high is 97, Layla.
Woof.
If you'll remember, before straining his hamstring, Shota had some issues with cramping. So all of that has to be taken into consideration when you talk about easing a guy back in. You want what's best for him, not just today, as you want to escape St. Louis with a split and not give up two games in a four-game series in the standings, but also what's best long-term for Shota being that guy you can depend on every fifth start.
So let's remind people of who was used yesterday after Matt Boyd went six innings. You had Brazier Fulmer, who's no longer with the team, and Porter Hodge. So, we could see Porter Hodge again, depending on the scenario, right? But that was an 8-0 win. So, you're probably, if it's a close game, seeing Presley in the ninth. You know, I wouldn't expect that to be too different for the second game for these guys coming back, like Hodge, for example.
I like the idea that you have Thielbar available to you. You obviously have, as you just mentioned, Presley, but also that back end of the bullpen, Mr. Keller.
Kel Pomflex?
Yeah, yes. You've got
Flex Kelpom.
Well, I don't put really Flex. Flex is their swing guy. He's the long man.
I know. I just really want to combine.
You just really
want to
come up with that.
Also, like that's it ends up being some combination of like Flex Palm or Kelpom or Kel Flex.
I like Kelpom. I think Kelpom Hodge.
It sounds like
Hodge
a sealant.
Single syllable, so it doesn't quite flow.
Kelpom Flex sealing games for you.
Kelpom Flex Encia Palencia. How can we add that?
You gotta add, yeah, you
no,
gotta
Palencia's his own dude. He throws 100.
Hell
he gets
yeah.
his own name.
Hell yeah.
Flex Kelpom, however, or Kelpom Flex, will work on it. Sealing games for you.
But the bottom line
is... You can spray it in your truck.
Because they had an 8-run lead after five innings, when they had Boyd come out of the game yesterday, they could just go to low-leverage guys because you have an 8-run lead. Now the high-leverage guys are all ready to go. And it'd be great if you didn't need as many of them today. Maybe today, well, now you want to keep flexing fresh because the next stop is Houston for 3 days.
Yeah, at least that's inside.
At least that's inside. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you take advantage of those indoor day games where you can get them. Also, you know what hitters like about Houston? You can see the ball well there. So I like the Cubs' chances, at least when it comes to being able to manufacture some offense.
Can I make my very unpopular opinion a take here?
Yeah.
I miss the flagpole in center field.
In Houston?
Yes. I miss that.
Cameron Maben once described the hill to me. They call it Tal's Hill. He once described it to me as a YouTube blooper waiting to happen. He's like, if you're in center, do not go. Don't even think you could go up that hill.
You know what it makes me think of? It's like, when I see it, I'm like, you know what? They should turn this in the off season into mini golf. And that just put a hole out there where that flag is uphill.
I know I talked about the importance of a ground ball pitcher in today's Major League Baseball, which is a bit of a contradiction. But I say that because the guy who's forced the most ground ball outs so far as starting pitching in baseball, at least according to team rankings, is on the mound facing the Cubs today in Andre Pallante. So I'm curious to see how, with the humid factors, with seeing how we saw the ball just fly out of the ballpark at Busch Stadium yesterday, how that combines to what this can mean for Cubs hitters. So if he's hitting his spots and he's forcing all those ground ball outs, it could be a better outcome for the Cardinals relative to what we saw yesterday.
This would be one of those instances as well where you have a guy be able to perhaps be in a situation where the Cubs can prove again how they can win in a variety of ways, not just by the home run ball, which has been heavy, heavy in their diet the last couple of weeks.
A variety of ways. I appreciate that. I know we heard from Tommy Hotovy when it came to Shota Imanaga coming back, but Craig Counsell did talk yesterday with the afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes, before the game about Imanaga's rehab. So let's take a listen to that, too.
You know, rehab is, for anybody, I think it's kind of a painstakingly feels a little monotonous, right? But I think Shota sees the light at the end of the tunnel here coming, and he'll take the ball tomorrow and ready to go. So we're happy that he's back, happy he's back with the team, and I know he's looking forward to pitching tomorrow. We'll be cautious, certainly, the first couple starts. I think anybody coming off rehab, you're going to be cautious with that.
So that was Craig Counsell. So it sounds like he and Hotovy are echoing the same sentiment when it comes to what we can expect to see. Maybe we do get that combination then of like flex and, because he threw only an inning, I think, in his last outing. So maybe he throws a little more today.
It will definitely depend on how efficient Shota can be and whether he can avoid the long inning and putting runners on.
Right. I mean, and I think with the weather conditions, I don't try to make that an excuse, but I feel like that is going to be one of those situations where you monitor. Also, it's just nice to have this conversation after watching Matt Boyd did what he did yesterday. Like, I feel much better about talking about this. I'm not putting that much stress on the outcome of Shota Imanaga's start today.
I just want Shota to get through this thing healthy and the Cubs to find a way to make things right. 2-2 is not bad considering how the first two games went.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose this game, though, we're having a different conversation tomorrow, that's for sure.
That's usually how that goes.
Coming up next, it is halftime here in Raheemy and Harris on the Scores. We get you ready for that Cubs baseball game. I have an interesting reason why a flight got grounded.
Well, they say, be lucky. Don't get struck by lightning. That was not an option for this young man. Yeah, that's when we come back with more Raheemy and Harris. Halftime on the way on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris. Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. We spent our first couple segments talking about the Bulls draft and not just the pick of Noah Esenge, but how they're putting this team together. We played some sound from Mark Eversley, the GM who talked last night and this morning on Mully in Awe. We talked to Joe Calle about it at 11. Shota Imanaga is pitching today. Michael Fulmer got DFA'd. He had a nice outing yesterday, scoreless inning, but he's gone. And now we get you ready for more baseball and halftime.
It's halftime.
All right, so you know how a lot of times when your stuff is missing, like I think of Modern Family when Gloria was like, they stole my keys. And then her husband is like, wait a second. They stole your keys out of your purse, but ignored your purse and your wallet and all these other things.
As in, she lost her keys.
So I say that because I have this headline for you. Flight delayed over an hour after crew wrongly accuses passengers of stealing phone. First of all,
I'm so mad already.
Let's talk about the name of this airline. A Wizz Air flight.
Where was this?
Wizz. W-I-Z-Z. This is an unserious airline.
I'm just taking a whiz, you know? Taking a whiz.
A Wizz Air flight from London to Tirana. I don't even know where that is.
How'd
I'm pretty
get here?
Decent with geography. Exactly. Was delayed for nearly an hour and a half after cabin crew wrongly accused passengers of stealing a security guard's phone, sparking chaos on board. An announcement was made before departure saying, we know the phone is on board. We cannot depart knowing there's something that does not belong to this flight. This is a security issue. One passenger, a 28-year-old who requested anonymity, criticized the handling of the situation, saying, you'd think airports would be more secure, and this would be resolved swiftly. You're not even safe at Luton, I don't know, airport, somewhere you assume is a safe space. But no, guess what happened? The phone wasn't on the plane.
Where was the phone?
The phone had been left, I'm assuming, at somewhere else that belonged to the person whose phone it was. The crew finally admitted after a long standoff that there was no missing item on board. There's no item on this plane. We're happy now with our security position to go, the crew told frustrated passengers before resuming preparations for takeoff.
They should have booed the cabin. They should have booed back.
You what know, are you doing taking Wizz Air? You know I'm going to take it now, right? Like, you know that's the next step in this, is I'm confidently asking, and I'm going to end up on this airline.
Is Wizz Europe's version of
Spirit?
Spirit?
That's a good question. I think Ryanair is the comp there.
What's Ryanair?
Ryanair is kind of... Ryanair weighs you. They're like they weigh you and your carry-on. Like, there's all these hacks online to, like, you have to basically wear all your clothes, like Chandler and Joey on Friends. You know, that whole skit. You basically have to do that in order to get away with, like, whatever 2-pound carry-on allowance they have. Like packing heavy over here, Rahimi, that's not happening.
Okay,
like, Ryanair and I are not getting along.
It's interesting that you said that, because I was like, I need to find out more about Wizz Air.
Wizz Air!
Here's the headline. I'm going to give you the headline. Which budget airline offers the most comfort? A look at Ryanair, EasyJet, and Wizz Air's legroom. So that kind of tells you what category they're in.
Wizz Air.
Wizz Air, the official airline of Bears 2.
but also, I immediately thought of the Modern Family bit where Gloria's like, they stole my keys. And then he's like, out of your purse? No wallet stolen, huh? Interesting. And that's why I childproof myself for myself. And I always have this little hook by the door that I hang my keys on. So that way I can't accuse myself of stealing my keys. Scene.
It's nap time.
All right. Getting struck by lightning, not usually great.
I just keep thinking about Wizz Air now.
People die when they get struck by lightning
a lot of
the times.
Yes, they do.
But for one 15-year-old... it was a literal walk in the park. A 15-year-old boy says he feels, quote unquote, pretty lucky after being struck by lightning in Central Park on Thursday.
Central Park?
When a round of thunderstorms swept through New York City. Yasin Khalifa, a high school sophomore, told WABC-TV he was in the park with friends enjoying a picnic when the storm suddenly rolled in. I leaned up against a tree and I told them, oh, guys, let's ride out the storm. Which in hindsight might not have been the best idea, Khalifa said. Khalifa said he was knocked unconscious for several minutes. Crystal Mateo, 17, told the New York Times she witnessed the scene and saw Khalifa's friends frantically calling for help and trying to revive him. It was scary, she said. I was crying. Khalifa told WABC he was conscious when he was taken by ambulance to a hospital where he was treated for burns on his neck and leg.
Yeah, he's really lucky to be alive. Also, you think lightning strikes typically happen of individuals, like in random open spaces? You're not thinking like the open space of Central Park nestled among all the buildings.
I'm thinking the tree and him got hit because he was leaning against the tree.
Did he hide underneath the tree? Guys.
Because he tried to ride up the storm. He went under the tree to avoid the rain and then gets hit.
Number one storm rule. Do not take shelter under a tree. And that's why.
Khalifa told WABC he was conscious when he was taken by ambulance to the hospital where he was treated for those burns. He is expected to make a full recovery. Quote, apparently I'm pretty lucky because my spine was directly against the tree and no nerve damage happened. So I'm like not losing any sort of motor function. So I'm pretty happy about that, Khalifa said. Lightning kills around 30 people a year in the United States, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control.
Mostly men, right? Aren't men overwhelmingly the ones that get struck by lightning?
I don't have that information in front of me.
For some reason, I knew that. Not that I'm trying to kill anybody. That would be a pretty far-fetched way to do it. But it is mostly men. Like, conjure up some lightning and be like, oh, pardon me.
I want to tell you, strikes, though, are not usually fatal. About 90% of people injured by a lightning bolt survive. Ray, did you have something you wanted?
Yes, I do have something to add.
It's halftime.
For the first time in halftime history, I'm going to tie both of your stories together.
What?
Headline, Wizz Airline flight returns to airport after being hit by lightning. This was in 2022. The Independent. I was on The Independent, the British news site, and it freaked out on me. Okay.
Trent Crim is of The Independent, the fictional character I love from Ted Lasso.
A Wizz Air flight was forced to return to its departure point on Monday after being struck by lightning while still ascending.
Oh, like it was going on the way up to reach maximum air.
Yes.
Our texters have been incredible today, and they are going to combine it even further.
It's nap time.
815. Wizz Airline and a story about a kid's last name being Khalifa. Subtle neutral program going on.
That's fair.
On.
That crossed
my
mind.
That's fair. That's fair.
Wizz Khalifa. So good. Did you guys plan to give us Wizz Khalifa for halftime on purpose?
Oh,
no.
Man.
This is the magic that happens.
Gee,
these are my
Wiz.
Angels.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I didn't know. That was unintentional.
You meant that.
No.
Did you really just say gee whiz?
Oh, gee whiz.
You guys were taking Wizz Air. This is 100% happening.
Road trip.
I'm going to pack everything into a belt bag from Lululemon.
I feel like that's
that has 1 liter capacity, and we're going on this Wizz Air flight.
Wizz Air might have been what they took in Eurotrip, something along those lines, at least. A budget airline is what I'm thinking.
I'm excited about this.
I'm excited about five on it. You know why?
We get back to sports stuff?
No, because it's
cash
next.
Because
it's next. We've been told to break. And so I was just trying to make a segue so that we could take a break so we could come back with more. Raheem and Harris right here on 670 The Score.
Wiz Khalifa Airlines. Hear me out.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.